Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in South Suburban Chicago and won her first speech contest at age 8. She earned a B.S. degree in broadcast journalism from the University of Illinois and a Master's of Art degree in mass communications and media studies from Howard University. A TV host slash reporter, since 2010 she's been a segment producer and an on-air contributor for You and Me This Morning on WCIU-TV in Chicago. Her name? Summer Jackson. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Summer Jackson, TV host, reporter, who has broadcast in Atlanta, New Orleans, Chicago, Denville, and Illinois. Summer, welcome. A real honor to have you.
And I'm honored to be on your show, Jack. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, let's see. I'm an only child. As you stated before, I grew up in South Suburban Chicago. So had a really fun, outgoing childhood, very involved in school and activities. And I was somewhat of a nerd, and I think that stuck with me throughout my academics. I always loved trying to get straight A's. I think that's kind of that only child syndrome as well, just always being an overachiever. And it worked well for me. So throughout high school, I mean, I went on to be homecoming queen, student council president, co-captain of the cheerleading squad. But it really all started back when I was a kid, and I had the opportunity to compete in my district-wide speech contest. And I won that contest. Prior to that, I always thought my gift was primarily drawing, which is, it's still my gift. And it was my first gift I realized I had. But at that point, I won my first speech contest at 8 years old in the third grade.
What was the topic?
Well, I can remember my teacher's assignment was to select a speech topic, and she gave us a variety of them. And you were supposed to take the assignment home and have your family members help you write this speech a little bit. And I chose the topic, If I Won the Lottery. And I just remember the speech going something like, and my mother helped me to write this. The speech went something like, if I won the lottery, I'd buy a great big house. And one room would be filled with Barbie dolls. And the next room would be filled with candy. So each room, basically, in this house had everything that I loved as an eight-year-old.
Did a room have a pair for a whole series of shoes?
Not quite yet. I hadn't quite developed my full affinity and affection for shoes like I have now. At the time, I was more into Barbie dolls and candy and swimming. I used to love swimming as well and drawing. So those were sort of my things I enjoyed doing at that age.
You mentioned that your mom helped you write that speech. What's the biggest thing mom taught you, Summer?
Well, I still learn from my mom to this day. She and I are very close. And I think one of the biggest things I think she teaches me and has taught me is that anything is possible, you know, and you have to keep trying and not give up and keep it moving. That's one of her favorite phrases, is keep it moving. So, you know, kind of like when life throws you a lemon, you know, you can't stop and stare at the lemon. You have to figure out now what? What's the next plan for me?
You got a B.S. degree from the University of Illinois and then a Master's of Arts degree from Howard University. How did you get your first break, big break in TV?
Well, I started interning at 18 years old. I actually started interning the summer before I went to high school in media relations. And that was my introduction to the world of professional communications. And so I would I would intern through a program called Inroads that I had been in since I was a sophomore in high school, which afforded me this awesome opportunity to intern at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. So every summer and winter break, I would intern through the Inroads program in Chicago at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. And it was awesome because it was a paid internship as well. So you were paid to be there and to learn and to grow and develop. And eventually I even earned a scholarship from them during my internship. Well, that was during the school year, that was during the summer and winter breaks. During the school year at U of I, I would intern wherever I could for free in broadcasting. So I interned in radio. In fact, by the time I graduated undergrad, my senior year, while a lot of folks were enjoying being seniors, every Saturday, I actually had a radio show. I think it was like from noon to four, and we had carts, you know, the old school carts where you put the actual equipment into the machine. So nothing was digital at that time. And I would also intern at the local TV station. I interned at WICD-TV. And eventually it was my relationship there and also getting an opportunity to become an intern for the Illinois Broadcasters Association had an internship opportunity for minority students, and they were only selecting three in the state. And I remember I just wanted a job, but my professor suggested that I apply for this internship, and I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to get this, you know, out of all the students in the state. So lo and behold, I got it. And if you got it, they wanted you to take it. So I ended up interning at WICD's sister station in Springfield, Illinois. So after all these years of interning, it finally really paid off big for me, and that internship turned into a job back at WICD. So it was like a full circle experience. I started off in Champaign interning. I went to their sister station to intern, and then I got a job at the Champaign station as the Danville Bureau Chief. So I covered the news for Vermilion County, Illinois, and I was fresh out of college.
We're talking to Summer Jackson. When we come back, we'll ask her about her time in New Orleans. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Summer Jackson, who got a job in 2004 in New Orleans. Everything was going great, Summer, and then Katrina hits a year later, August 2005. What happened?
Yeah, you know, it was really a very tough time, and it's hard to believe that we are approaching the 10th anniversary for Hurricane Katrina. It was such a life-changing experience for any and everyone in that region, and I think your life will never be the same afterward because you look at things differently when something like that happens. So you're correct. I was a news reporter working in probably my biggest market yet. Prior to that, I had worked in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is about an hour west of New Orleans. So I was very excited about the opportunity in New Orleans. I was filling in anchoring, and I was the morning show reporter on their new morning show. So things were going really well and really smooth. And then one weekend, we find out that, you know, we may have a hurricane coming toward us, which is very common in that region, especially at this time of the year when the Gulf can be particularly hot and stir up those hurricanes. So, you know, we didn't know. Our boss told us to be on standby. Our executive producer, news director, said, be on standby. You may have to work this weekend. Just prepare for that. Well, by Saturday morning, I got a call from my boss saying, you're going to have to work. Prepare to stay overnight. So pack a bag because we don't know, you know, exactly how long we'll need you in the crew or where we're in the field and where we're sending you to. And so I went to get gas that day, and all the gas was gone at the station I went to because people were already planning to evacuate for this horrible, or not horrible because we really didn't know how bad it would be, before this possible storm coming in. I also stocked up on some food, and I remember, you know, just preparing. And then the next day, I had to report to work, and I was an early a.m. reporter, so I had to be there at 3 a.m. And as I was driving to the station, I was the only car in the lanes going toward downtown, because I lived in Kenner, which is away from downtown, and it leads you out of the city. And there were nothing but headlights leaving the city. And it was really that moment you're going, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I'm going into the storm, you know. So that day I worked. The storm was not there yet, but I worked most of the day, interviewed people who were going into the Superdome, which originally the Superdome was set up for people with special needs, maybe who didn't have anyone at home with them, who needed doctors and maybe care or nurses care, that sort of thing. So interviewed those people. And after that, I think the weather was sort of changing. You could kind of see a change coming in, like it was going to storm. And the police started evacuating people off of the streets of New Orleans because people were still out and about. Some people just acted like it wasn't going to happen. Eventually, my coworkers and I left. We had two choices: to go to the North Shore of New Orleans or to head to Mobile, to our sister station in Alabama. So I left with the crew that went to Mobile. I luckily drove my car out of there, and we ended up sleeping at a hotel. The next morning we woke up, and the lights were all off in Mobile because Mobile was hit as well. Somehow made it to the television station, the Fox station in Mobile, our sister station, and ended up sleeping there for a couple of days, you know, until we knew what was going on with Katrina, the results of Katrina in New Orleans. And when we found out the entire city was flooded and the death toll and the people who were trapped, and it was just utterly devastating. Our station was underwater. I remember my videotape, you know, even to possibly get a new opportunity, was stuck at the station. I mean, everything was lost. And I didn't realize at the time, but later on found out that my apartment was pretty much destroyed. I had a huge hole in my ceiling, so I lost everything. I lost all of my possessions. And at that moment, you realize that that's just what they are, possessions, and things can be replaced, you know. But it definitely was a starting over point. I was grateful that, you know, I had my life and I was out of there with that. And it was just, where do you start over, you know? How do you begin again?
And then 2010, you're back home in Chicago. And you get a job, You and Me This Morning on WCIU-TV. Tell us about that experience these last 5 years.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually started with WCIU as a freelancer. I was actually in graduate school in Washington, D.C. at Howard when they contacted me and said, hey, can we talk to you about some opportunities here? And I'm like, well, I'm actually in D.C. So we set it up for me to start doing freelance stories and segment producing when I was in Chicago. And the show was relatively new at the time. The show started in 2009, so here it was 2010. It was still developing. So by the time I graduated with my master's degree from Howard, a full-time opportunity had opened at You and Me This Morning for a segment producer. And when they hired me, they gave me the segment producer position, but they also said, can we give you a segment? At the time, it was called Uniquely Chicago. And now I've gone from doing just Uniquely Chicago to having Shopping with Summer, Singing with Summer, and one of my favorites, Summer in the City, where I go and talk to people around the city with restaurants or just various things happening. So it's a really fun show. I also produce segments with celebrities. So these are segments you may not even know I'm affiliated with. Recently, we had Nigel Barker live in studio. I booked him and produced his segment where he was in talking to our host about the Art Van Furniture event for their grand opening in Downers Grove, Illinois, one of their latest stores to open in the Chicagoland area. And also he talked about his new book. So my experiences on this show are so awesome and vast. I love it. It's an amazing show.
It's January morning. It's 18 below. The wind chill is minus 46. The weatherman says we got 9 inches of snow last night, and we're expecting another foot today. And then he says, and now let's go to Summer Jackson. What do you say with that intro when it's that kind of weather?
It's funny because that really did happen to me on many occasions being a news reporter. You go on. Number one, I would try to find an expert or someone out there, maybe someone with the police department or the Department of Transportation to give real figures as to what's happening. So that would be one of my first things, is to set up an interview with someone of that caliber to give people some great facts about it. But then I would also give them the personal angle, essentially, with me being in the field, telling them what it's really like and why they should attempt to stay indoors if they can and work at home for the day. But if that's not possible and you have to get out in the storm, to definitely be careful because the roads are in bad condition. Try to take public transportation if that's available, but definitely try to stay off the roads. And then also maybe make sure you have things like a blanket and a flashlight, maybe some snacks, maybe even a shovel in your trunk just in case you do have to get out on the road, because sometimes we can't let the weather stop us. But make sure you're ready and prepared if something bad does happen until someone can get to you.
We're talking to Summer Jackson, who's interviewed thousands of fascinating people. Summer, the day you interviewed Oprah Winfrey, tell us about that experience.
Oh, that was absolutely amazing. One of my most exciting interviews, because she is the media maven and she is the expert, but it was also somewhat intimidating, I will admit that. I was on the red carpet interviewing her for the opening of The Color Purple here in Chicago. At the time, I was working on a show called Metro Mix, which is an entertainment show, and I was hosting and reporting on the show. And so I'm at the end of the line. That was my spot on the red carpet. And Oprah gets to me, and I'm thinking, okay, she'll probably just wait for me to ask her one question, because she has to rush into the theater to prepare for the opening night. Well, I asked her a question, and she stayed as if she was waiting for me to ask her another question. And I said, oh, my gosh, she's still here. This is what I'm thinking in my mind. Obviously, I didn't tell her that. So I asked her another question, asked her just about being in Chicago and having the tour start here in Chicago for The Color Purple. The North American tour was starting here. What did that mean for her, since so many significant things had happened for her in Chicago? And she did. She said Chicago was a full circle experience for her. And anytime she can do things here in Chicago, she loves it. And it was just an amazing moment. And I was also blown away by the diamonds in her ear. They were amazing. I don't think I've seen diamonds shine so brightly in my life, but it was just an amazing moment to be standing there interviewing Oprah.
We're talking to Summer Jackson, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and with Summer Jackson. Summer, in the last segment, you mentioned Art Van and Nigel Barker. In 2014, Mr. Van and Nigel started a Chicago supermodel super search, and you were a contestant. Tell us about that experience.
Well, it was so amazing getting the call back that I was one of the finalists for the supermodel competition with Art Van Furniture. And it was surreal. So I went on to the competition, and it was really a strange day, because my cousin had passed, and his funeral was earlier in the day. And so I had to leave the funeral services to go to prepare for the competition. So it was just a really weird day, because this was a cousin I was very close to. But I also knew that my cousin would want me to go out there and, you know, try this and go for it. So with that energy behind me, I went forward, got the makeup done, did the walkthrough. But the nerves and the jitters really hit when you see the room full of people and you're getting asked questions, because the competition wasn't just about were you cute enough, but it was also about were you a good spokesperson for the brand. And as you know, in Michigan, Art Van Furniture is an icon. And so Mr. Van himself even interviewed me on the spot. It was like the Miss America pageant. He interviewed me about why should you represent my brand. Nigel Barker asked questions, and also the editor of Splash with the Sun-Times newspaper here in Chicago. So it was very fun, yet also nerve-wracking and intimidating in some ways. But I use those nerves to propel me to walk the runway and to answer the questions the best way possible. And it all paid off because I won the competition, and I was absolutely thrilled to have the honor. And when the winner went on to be a part of the commercial for the fall catalog, and you were also featured in the fall catalog. You had a local winner there in the Detroit area as well. And so she and I were both in that ad. So it was just an absolutely amazing experience, and one that I just didn't think would happen in my 30s. I thought that's for in your 20s. But the competition was open for anyone of any age, so it worked out.
We're talking to Summer Jackson. If you want to learn more, www.wciu.com. Summer,
yeah.
What's the thing that's impressed you the most about Art Van Elslander?
The thing that impresses me the most is that he is so down to earth and kind, and he loves to give. His philanthropy is amazing. The organizations they work with, and just the people's lives that he touches. And the furniture brand is such quality, but the prices aren't over the top. So real people can have beautiful things in their home. So all of those things together, I just think he cares about people. And that, for me, makes him so special and the Art Furniture brand so special. Because it is, at the end of the day, it is about relationships, and it is about others and people and giving back and your legacy. What did you do for others while you were here?
Talk to us about Nigel Barker.
Oh, gosh. I have nothing but great things to say about Nigel Barker. You know, I for years I watched him on America's Next Top Model, and I never thought I would really get a chance to meet him, especially in that capacity where I was model and he was a photographer. I mean, I thought about auditioning for America's Next Top Model many years ago. But, you know, I was busy being a news reporter and doing all of these things as well, so I didn't end up doing it before aging out of the competition. So I thought, that chance has passed. But the chance to work with him on set, and he made me feel so comfortable. And, you know, he's like, yes, Summer, that's the perfect angle. Yes, look into the light. And, you know, he was just so fun on set and just really engaging and just down to earth. And to this day, you know, I could tweet something out and he'll retweet it. I put up a picture from the Art Van event a few weeks ago, and he liked it on Facebook. So it's just amazing to me that I even have this connection with Nigel Barker. And it's really been awesome.
You mentioned that a few weeks ago, we were both blessed to attend the Art Van Wow event in Downers Grove. They opened their largest store ever, 120,000 square feet. And we got to listen with about 300 other people to Jennifer Hudson sing live for an hour. And the two of us were about 30 feet away. And here's a portion of her singing Hallelujah.
And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who has seen the light. It's a cold.
Summer, what was it like standing 30 feet away and listening to that woman sing that song?
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. my spirituality and my love for God is number one in my life. So to hear that song sang so well by Jennifer Hudson, and to know that her heart was in it. She sang it from her heart and her soul. And she is also someone who has spoken about, you know, her relationship with God. And just to hear her and to know her story, it was so touching, very touching and moving.
Have you ever talked to her?
Yes, I have interviewed her. I've been blessed with that opportunity. Here in Chicago, she has a foundation for her nephew who was killed during that awful tragedy with her family. And so she has a foundation she's created with her sister. I believe it's called the Julian King Foundation. And every year for back to school, they give away book bags and school supplies. And then at the holidays, they give away toys. I'm talking about bikes and, you know, activity centers and everything you can think of that a kid may want. They give these away to kids in Chicago. And so I was at a venue where they were doing this donation to the community at Christmas. And it was just an honor to speak with her and to talk to her about giving back and what she does. And it's just amazing that she does give back and takes that kind of time. And you know, it's just awesome.
We're talking to Summer Jackson. Summer, you're very open about your spirituality. You're the whole package. You have it all. Why do you need God?
Oh, gosh. You know, I believe I need God every day. He is always there. You know, if you can't get your mom on the phone or your best friend on the phone, you know, you can pray and you can talk to God, you know, about what's going on in your life and whether it's good or bad. And and God has created such a foundation in my life. I grew up in the church. I was in the children's choir as a child, and I have pastors in my family. And so church has always been a major part of my life. And through church, obviously, I've developed my relationship with God. Because just because you go to church doesn't mean you have this strong relationship or connection spiritually. But I'm grateful to say that I do have that. And, yeah, he's the foundation for everything for me.
You mentioned that you believe he's always there. If there's a listener tonight that said, Summer, he never talks to me. He's not there for me. What would you tell them?
Well, I think God speaks to all of us, and I think that he can speak to us in the strangest ways or in those still moments. I remember one day I was walking down the street recently in the last couple of months over the summer, and there was this butterfly, and it just stayed with me. And I was like, what is with this butterfly? I mean, it was really weird. And in that moment, not to make it like a butterfly was talking to me, but it made me stop because this butterfly just stayed with me. They usually fly off and do their own thing. But in those moments, I could almost feel spiritually like this means change is on the way, because butterflies to me signify change, and they're so beautiful. And I just think that whether it's something like a butterfly or the change of seasons, when we stop and recognize that, you can see the awesomeness of God's power, that, you know, he doesn't need us to change the seasons. So he's speaking that he is there because these things are happening regardless of us, or whether it's, you know, a baby being born. You know, all of these things are just miracles that they're even happening. So I think he speaks to all of us. We, a lot of times, just need to get quiet enough to listen.
We're talking to Summer Jackson, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Summer Jackson, who's segment producer and on-air contributor for You and Me this morning on WCIU-TV in Chicago. Summer, you're extremely poised and accomplished at a very young age. How did this happen?
Well, I think it's just about, you know, really tapping into your gift, and God gives all of us a gift, and really trying to find out what that is and going with that. And even more than that, it's just having faith and believing that as your show is titled, that anything is possible. And for me, it all does come back to God, and, you know, because it's easy to get discouraged when things are not going the way you want them to go. But just remembering that, you know, having faith, and, you know, the Bible says in Scripture that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you have to know that even if you can't see it, you have to just believe it and know that it will happen. And sometimes it is in God's time. So I also believe in my favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And so those are the things that have stayed with me since childhood. Like I said, I grew up in the church and having a strong foundation in God, because life can throw you all sorts of challenges, but having that foundation can make all the difference in making your dreams possible.
Summer, if we could give every young person, if we could give every person true self-confidence, self-esteem, so many of our issues would go away. How does a person get self-esteem?
Well, I think a lot of it can start at home. I have two little girls, and so definitely I try to build them up and make them know that they're beautiful. And from the time they've been born, I call them, hey, pretty girl, come over here, you know. So just telling them they're beautiful, telling them they're smart. So as parents, we have to do that. And if you're not a parent, you know a child. So I think it really starts with adults saying it to children, and even adults saying it to other adults. There's nothing wrong with complimenting someone else and being able to receive that. But we also really have to know that it starts within us. And there are things that can shake our confidence, but we have to remember and to have a foundation in something to know that, you know, anything is possible and we can overcome. And everyone has flaws, and we just have to make the most of our flaws and not worry about those so much as we can build on the things that are our gifts.
You're a great listener. What's the key to becoming a great listener?
Wow, that's a challenging question there. Listening is something many of us don't do. I also teach public speaking adjunct sometimes, and that's part of the public speaking courses, becoming good listeners. So probably in studying communications, even at the graduate level, it has made me more conscious of being a better listener and just appreciating what someone else has to say to you versus trying to always get your point across first. So I think we have to listen to each other in order to grow and to build quality relationships. And so I do. I practice it. It's not always perfect because I do like to talk, but I do try to listen as well.
You have a great ability to have people open up to you. How do you do that?
Well, I love people. And I love connecting with people, and I love telling people stories. So from listening to that story and also relating to that story, I like to be relatable. So many things I may not be related. Maybe there are things in a person's life that I can't relate to, but I'm sure there's something that you can connect with people about. So for me, that's one of my skill sets that I use when I'm interviewing someone. And I just like to come to them open and honest and trusting so that they'll trust me with their information and to know that I'm going to protect that information and you know, serve it justice and to be truthful with it. So I think that's part of it for me, is just really starting with my love for people as I do interview people and having compassion for others.
You mentioned stories. What do all great storytellers have in common?
I think that's it. I think really great storytellers are able to relate to others and to, you know, you have your experiences in life, but when you're telling someone else's story, I do think you have to keep your, as in journalism, of course, keep your opinion on the outside and just tell that story, you know, but also make it relatable where other people can understand it. So if I'm doing a segment, it could be about anything. I'm always going to remember my audience. And whether I'm public speaking or emceeing an event, I always want to remember my audience because that's really what it's about. So what is it that your audience wants to hear or needs to hear about this particular subject? What will resonate with them? Because that's what makes the listener, that's what makes the viewer stick around.
You not only tell us stories verbally, you also do them through your drawing ability. You're a book illustrator. Tell us about that facet of your life.
Right. So my mother wrote her first book, Two Red Shoes, which is based on a short story she put together for a college class while working on, I think, her bachelor's or her master's degree. And we encouraged her to turn it into a book. And my mother is such a doer, which I absolutely love, and she gets it done. And so she turned it into a book. And when she wrote the book, she asked me to illustrate it. And at first I thought she was playing, because I thought, you know, I think I can draw well, but that doesn't mean I'm an illustrator, right? Well, my mother believed in me, and she said, no, I think you can do it. I think you have the vision for what I want the little girl to look like on the cover of the book and the images throughout the book. And I sat and I illustrated her book. I had her watch the grandkids, and I illustrated the book. I knew the book inside out. It's an amazing story. It's called Two Red Shoes. You can buy it on Lulu.com. But she also just wrote her second book, and I helped her to name that book. It's called Raw from the Heart, which is a book of poetry. So this book is for adults. I did not illustrate the book, but it's really encouraging to even have been a part of such a project.
We're talking to Summer Jackson. If you want to learn more, www.wciu.com.
Also, make sure people follow me at Summer Jackson TV, and on Facebook, you can like my page at Summer Jackson.
Summer, talk to us about taking risks.
I think we have to take risks. They're scary. You know, they make you get a sinking feeling in your stomach. And sometimes that's the thing that propels us to the next great place. We have to take risks. I mean, for me, pursuing the reporting road was a risk. I had an opportunity in corporate, and I tried the TV aspect of things, and, you know, I've gotten the chance to experience living my dreams working in television and working in broadcasting. So I just think we have to take risks, or we don't know what's possible.
As our time winds down, what advice would you give our young listeners tonight?
My advice for young listeners is to just go for it. You know, give it a shot. If it's something you think you want to do, just try it. What's the worst that can happen? That it'll fail? Well, successes are often built off of various failures. So I think we just have to try and believe in ourselves. So definitely believe in yourself and give it a try. You never know what can happen.
Summer Jackson, what a shining example of a great young lady with a fabulous future.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.